In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Jess Rutsch only four and still get there with Bryce Huff. A bullet off of the edge for the sack.
It is now. Back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know why my mind keeps going here. I think that most of our listening audience, like, you came in today and you're like, they got Bryce Huff!
Bryce Huff!
And I think 98.2% of Niner fans are like, who? But I thought of this. At any given moment, and not like you're the wrong person to talk to, Mr. Pre and post game coverage on 95.7 The Game. At any given moment, how often does this happen to you? You watch a football game, your favorite team, and someone will make a play and you're like, I've never heard of that person. I have no idea who the hell that is.
That's what like preseason week three is like.
For you, I think a lot of my friends is like week nine. And then there's this, I've long thought this
number
should be...
Number 45 on punt coverage?
Right, like who...
Who the hell are
who
you?
Who is that? Who is that? Who was my man on the defensive line last year? Was it Sammy O?
Okowanu?
Right. Yeah. Like that was one where the first play he made of the year, I'm like, are you on the team? Like where did... Or did somebody break in?
And then we all just called him right. Sam O for the whole season.
Everybody gave up. Exactly. But this and this is the one I really think the NFL ought to make a rule. I'm not kidding. In 2025, NFL needs to make a rule. If you're not on anyone's fantasy team, you're not allowed to score. I'm sorry. We can't do that. Like maybe on special teams. If you return a punt, whatever, that happens.
Well, yeah, but I have the defense and special teams, so I get credit for it anyway.
Exactly. But every week 11, right, the Panthers will drop back. And they'll like, oh, he's looking, right? There's like one player on the Panthers who's on everyone's fantasy team or whatever.
Third string tight end scores a touchdown.
Exactly. Yeah. And they run some trick play, and some guy is spiking the ball, and you're like, I have never heard that name in my entire life. That doesn't happen in other sports.
It'll be like if Luke Farrell scores a touchdown for the Niners this year.
And most of our audience just went, I'm sorry, who?
Probably the Niners' biggest free agent signing of the year.
It was their first.
Yeah.
It was their first signing.
Luke Farrell. I think tight end for the Jaguars last year, I'm pretty sure.
That is accurate.
Yeah.
A tight end for the Jaguars, not the tight end. Not the one that was allowed to score touchdowns for fantasy purposes.
Evan Engram.
Yeah. When he played. Which was rare. Thank you, Lucas. He was my tight end in this 95-7 The Game league.
That's rough.
That didn't go too
that's
well.
Rough. That I love that we're talking well. Football. Do you want,
yeah.
Do you want, it's a Friday and it's a beautiful day. And
my God, I was sweating on the way to work today.
If you're elsewhere, not in San Francisco, hope you're staying cool. It's perfect in the city right now. But so we don't need to brighten up our day like more than normal because it is already such a great day. But I saw this tweet earlier today and I had to bring it up. Scott Hansen, one of our favorite people in the NFL world.
Is he leaving?
Announced that he's coming back.
Yeah!
For NFL Red
Let's
Zone
go!
Next year. And he added this important detail.
Let's go!
We are only 100 days away from the first NFL Sunday.
Come on!
100!
Scott Hansen is literally, so there's the lovely Christy. We don't live together yet. And that may not actually happen for years. We're going to be married and not live together because there's 700 kids. So, like, I mean, who has enough bedrooms for this? So anyway, but I would let her be, quote unquote, the fifth member of our family. The sixth is Scott. I just want everyone to know that. That's the way it works in my house.
Scott Hansen will always have a seat at my table, specifically on Sundays.
There's three kids. Christy, she's got the first next seat at the dinner table. The next one is Scott. And that's, and I judge that based on how beloved people are by my children and my family. If Scott Hansen came over for dinner, I'm pretty sure they would sub me out for sure. That's how beloved Scott and NFL Sundays and Red Zone are in the Willard home. That is big news.
100 days.
What you just told me, I will break that at dinner tonight.
Oh, you're going to be the king of the night in your house.
There will be whoops. There will be whoops and high fives tonight at the dinner table. So that's exciting.
100 days away from Scott Hansen saying 7 hours. Commercial-free football.
We got to get him on maybe even like before the season starts.
Let's go to the Octobox.
Yeah, he's easier to get, I would think. Can we get him like the last week of August? I still, by the way, Dad was never cooler than the day that we had him on. And I told him how much my kids loved him. And then he did something where he like specifically named them. He's like, you tell Jude, neighbor, whatever. And I got that clip and I took it home. I mean,
they just lit up, huh?
You'd have thought they were on the red carpet at the Grammys. They were like, Scott Hansen's talking about me on the radio.
Puff their chests out a little bit.
Yep. So anyway, but
here's a couple inches.
Here's what I was going to say, though, about the side of the ball and the Niners. So they make a move for the defense today. We sort of establish, again, Bryce Huff, and he's pass rushing specialist, so he'll be there second, third down, whatever. But the bigger point to me is they're really leaning into Saleh. And I'm a huge Robert Saleh fan. I think he's a wonderful coach. And my optimism around the Niners right now is more based on that than me being able to X and O with you about what Mykel Williams is going to do, because I have no idea what he's going to be able to do.
There's
a lot of rookies that need to perform this year, but my belief in Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh is very, very high. And I think I kind of see behind their eyes when I see them talk this week, they're excited. And I know people are talking about vibes and all that, and that's great. But here's what I'm thinking. The defense, not the offense, is going to be why the 49ers make the playoffs this year. Because Robert Saleh is really good at his job. And if they rush the passer very well this year, and today I think is a big step toward us feeling like they will.
Feel better for sure.
Okay? Yep. If they rush the passer well this year, I want everybody to think about who is the quarterback on the other end who is going to dice up the 49ers plus level pass rush, because the quarterbacks that they will face this year go like this. Sam Darnold, I have no damn idea.
Tyler Shuck, probably.
Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Michael Penix, CJ Stroud, probably Russell Wilson / I have no idea.
Jackson Dart.
Stafford again. Murray again, and then you've got, I guess, Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Bryce, sorry, my mind went to Stanford running backs.
Great at Stanford.
Bryce Young, followed by week 13, I have really, 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 really no idea.
Shadur Sanders. Dylan Gabriel.
Then you're going to get Cam Ward. Then you're going to get, I have no idea.
Anthony Richardson?
Or Daniel Jones. Followed by Caleb Williams, followed by Sam Darnold. You will notice that the names Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Bo Nix, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, you will notice that none of those names came up. So if the 49ers even have a pretty good defense, they are going to eat this year because they do not have to face any of the elite players at the quarterback position that this league has to offer almost. I don't want to disrespect Stafford, Baker Mayfield. These are good players.
Kyler gives them problems.
CJ Stroud. There's good players out there. But the elite that this position has to offer, the Niners don't play them. They just don't play them. They might have to beat them in January, you hope, but they don't play them. And so if you rush the quarterback really well, which Robert Saleh has a history of doing almost everywhere he's gone the last 6 years in this league, when you do that, dude, you're going to win a lot of football games.
And you do that against elite quarterbacks, you're still going to win a lot of football games. Yep. You do that against this crop of quarterbacks, and the larger point is the schedule, and that's probably reason number one to be like optimistic of the Niners making the postseason or winning the division. My optimism isn't even necessarily about like over under 10.5 wins. I feel so good about the over. It's just like in general, I think they're going to be a better football team than I thought they were going to be once free agency opened and all of these departures were happening, and they were only bringing in a backup tight end in Luke Farrell from the Jaguars. I also think the other part of this, and this is what you're getting at when it comes to Robert Saleh and the defense specifically, one of the most like common and not necessarily like Shanahan haters, but people who are questioning Kyle Shanahan and his responsibilities, one of the most common things that people would say, I think there was some truth to it, was he just has his hand in too many baskets. He's too involved in everything going on with the 49ers. And you could feel like he was kind of babysitting each of his last two defensive coordinators the last 2 years.
To a degree.
Sorensen and Wilkes. I mean, you remember the game in Minnesota 2 years ago when Wilkes called the zero blitz at the end of the first half. And at that time, it was still Kirk Cousins who threw to Jordan Addison, ripped the ball away from whoever the safety was at the time.
It might have been Ward. It might have been. I don't think it was
some random veteran who filled in.
I look it up.
Anyway, ripped it away from the safety, and then he goes 50 yards for a touchdown to close the first half. And he ultimately comes out post game that day and says that can't happen. Ridiculous to call a zero blitz in that situation. And then he brings Steve Wilkes down from the booth and has him on the sideline because he tries to fill what Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans did. Do you have an answer for who the safety
was? It was Charvarius Ward. Yeah, ball went right through his hands.
Yeah, and anyway, it resulted in a touchdown. And Shanahan maybe, you know, could have seen that the corner was there in the right spot, but whatever. It was a touchdown. It was a bad call, whatever. So he gets upset at that. And you kind of feel like he had been in a situation where what he had to do for the defensive side of the football probably took away a little bit of what he was able to do for the offensive side of the football. Because you just have so much consciousness and so much ability to go around. It's not infinite. And if you're worried about one half of the football, it's going to take away from what you're able to do on the offensive end. And you know me, I was frustrated a lot at times with the way Shanahan was generally pretty conservative and vanilla offensively, and you get him into a situation now where he can trust fully what's happening on the other side of the football. Results aside a little bit, you just trust that who is running that is doing everything possible and is getting the most out of that group. It's going to allow Shanahan to take a step back from that side of the team and then hone clearly into what he does best, which is what's on offense.
I totally agree. Like I think it allows you, and this is to get a little X and O-y or whatever, and that's kind of funny on May 30th, but like, you know what just popped to my mind when you were talking was the game in Minnesota last year where the 49ers backed Sam Darnold up inside his own five, and I think it was the very first 99-yard pass right over the top of the defense.
Justin Jefferson.
And exactly. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that I think drove Kyle Shanahan nuts, and it made fans come out. You know, I get it. It's the NFL. You come after the head coach, you come after the quarterback. And I'm like, but those are the things that have nothing to do with those guys whatsoever, and it's totally hamstrings what they can do, because they're trying to play essentially like a field position game, and you couldn't play a field position game because that's not even the only example. How many times do you feel like other team was backed up inside their 10 and then it would just like, whoop, okay, now they're at the 30. Well, that ruined that, because the whole plan there was you're backed up, we're going to have a pass rush that's going to put a lot of pressure on the other team, it's going to force a three and out, and we're going to get a short field, and we're going to get points out of that. That's the way you play football. And they couldn't do it last year because their defense sucked. They just did. They could not stop the run. They could not get off the field on third down. They could not stop from committing penalties. So there were games where they had leads, like the game against the Rams, and they just let it completely, right? They just let it absolutely disintegrate in front of their eyes. It does not mean that the offense and whatnot and the head coaching, everything needed to be better than it was last year. But I just think this is so fundamental. Everybody gets to have their plan, right? You're looking at it with Buster Posey right now with the Giants, right? You have a plan. You can see it. We're going to go pitching in defense. Maybe boring sometimes, but we were just reminiscing a few minutes ago because some highlights were up here about the 2014 World Series championship for the Giants.
And the team had no business.
Right.
They had a pitcher and a half going into the postseason. They started Juan Perez in Game 7 of the World Series, and that's your World Series champion that year.
And in Game 7, they went 1-2 punch of Tim Hudson and Jake Peavy, and both of them were 80 years old and ineffective. Yet somehow, they only gave up two runs in that game. You know, shout out, oh, who's my second baseman's name who did the double play?
Joe Panik.
There you go. Joe Panik, and obviously, Mad Bum.
Who Michael Morris, game-winning RBI.
Right, which probably had an exit velo of 12. So that, like, they were not great, but what did they have? Ooh, a bullpen. And what does this Giants team have? A bullpen. And why do they have? I know we're frustrated with them right now, but why do they have more wins than losses? I'd argue that's why. So whether you love it or not, that's his game plan. The 49ers in this era are most comfortable when the center of their team is the pass rush. That's who they are. That is their philosophy. You're allowed to disagree with it, but it's been pretty successful. And when it goes well, everything around it seems to work. Secondary starts to play better. When the defense plays better, a little bit less is asked of the offense. If the offense stays healthy, Christian McCaffrey, whatnot, you definitely have enough to put a lot of points on the board. And that's what they mean by the connectivity. Everything starts feeding each other. So that's what I love about today. With Robert Saleh, allowing him to go get his own guys and to really focus again on the pass rush, to me feels like the 49ers getting back to who they are.
Yeah, no doubt. And you laid out like all of their defensive issues last year. I mean, they couldn't stop the run. They couldn't rush the passer. They couldn't really do a whole lot of anything defensively last year. The offense, believe it or not, despite everything that happened, wasn't terrible by any means, but the defense was just absolutely a mess. And then you try to wrap your head around, okay, that's the reality of last year's team. And then they go and they get rid of multiple starters. Malik Collins, defensive tackle, see ya. Leonard Floyd, edge rusher, see ya. Devondre Campbell, whatever. That's not even worth bringing up. I shouldn't have. Mooney Ward goes. He had extenuating circumstances with his personal life, and you wish the best to him and his family going forward, but he's not back. You lose Dre Greenlaw. That was maybe the one the Niners felt like they let get away.
Yep.
Talanoa Hufanga leaves as well. You don't feel terrible about that, although...
I'm sorry to say this that way, but shoulder shrug.
Although now you don't really have any safeties you feel too good at the moment because Malik Mustafa is dealing with an injury, and you're going to have to start probably Jair Brown, who maybe you don't want to start, and then somebody else to begin the year. We will see there. So for the short term, maybe you're going to miss Talanoa Hufanga, but probably not once you get Malik Mustafa back. So you have what last year was. You have that exodus of, I guess talent is the right word, but you have the exodus of a lot of starters last year, and you don't really have any additions. And maybe it's short-sightedness by me and a lot of other Niner fans. I'm sitting there watching free agency happen and thinking, like, you were bad. You let half of your starters leave. and you didn't really do anything to get anyone else. How are you possibly going to be better? And I'm sitting here now on May 30th looking like, well, you know, Mikael Williams, you know, you hope that your draft pick comes around. Now you have Bryce Huff. You hope that he turns out to be better. D. Winters, another year as a starter, potentially alongside Fred Warner. You get growth from the Renardo Green. D'Amador Lenore steps into the number one cornerback role, and you have the workings of what could be a really big defense. But to I think a lot of Niner fans' point, maybe who don't feel as optimistic as I do and as you do, there isn't a lot like specifically I can point to that is, well, they lost this guy. This guy's better than him. That's why they're going to be better. It's more so just a gut feeling. It's just trust I have in who's leading the way.
That's the word. That's the word I was sitting here waiting to say, trust. And you know, I get it if you're not there, 49er fans, but you are, and I am. The combination of Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan, to me, John Lynch too, the whole system, like, I trust it. I absolutely trust it. It does not mean the year will be perfect. I don't know yet who's going to get hurt and whatnot. And yes, there are questions all over. There are names who are going to be a big deal for the 49ers this year, and we don't even know them yet. I know most people can name Mikael Williams because he's their first draft pick. You know, you talked about D. Winters. I think that they might actually be paving the way for Nick Martin, who's a rookie out of Oklahoma State. But I don't know if he's going to be any good. I know they want him to be. I've heard that they feel he's going to be, but the lights haven't come on yet, right? We're still there. It's just it's not even like late practices. It's only early practices, but that's what it comes down to. I really trust Robert Saleh, and I think that this defensive coordinator journey that we've been on over the last 3 years is a big deal. And that's not to blame any individual. I know there's a lot of feelings out there about Steve Wilks being a scapegoat for everything having gone wrong. I don't really look at it as blame. And even if you do want to blame the defensive coordinator, I think it's almost easier to blame whoever hired him.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, if that's not who was going to work your system, then why'd you hire him? And then you let him go, and then you gave it to a pup who was clearly overmatched and not ready for the job. Don't even know if he ever will be. And that didn't work. So I just look at Saleh, and then you even look at D'Amico Ryans, having come from working right directly underneath Saleh and what he was able to achieve. I think that that speaks volumes, man. And he's back. And that I have a ton of trust in, even not knowing who some of the particular players are going to be.
I don't want it to, and I see this coming in on the text line from the 925, talking about what I said earlier about Shanahan maybe having his hand in too many buckets and it's taking away from what he was doing offensively. The 925 says, wow, Kyle just really can't do anything wrong, LOL. Kyle Shanahan is far from being without blame in the way last season played out, but even the way that the defense has played out the last couple of years, there's no doubt. You mentioned the decision to hire Steve Wilks in the first place. I don't know what the hell they're trying to convince themselves of. First of all, they go into that offseason with D'Amico Ryans leaving, and they go into that offseason saying, when asked, what are you looking for in your new defensive coordinator? And they said specifically, they said, we want someone who will run our system, who our players aren't going to have to adjust to, who will run our system and is comfortable running our system, has experience running our system. And they go out and hire a guy in Steve Wilks who has never once run that system before. And then they appear surprised that it doesn't go over super well. Like, that made absolutely no sense to me.
Was that game like week 5 or week 6 or something like that?
Well, that was the second of their third consecutive loss after they were 5-0. So it was somewhere around week 7.
Week 7, yeah.
Because they lost in Cleveland to snap their 5-0 start, I think.
He called them out publicly in a press conference, which tells me that they were already butting heads. So like
before, even during the win streak,
yeah,
probably.
Before the halfway point of the season.
So Shanahan's not clear from blame by even a mile. Like he deserves a ton of blame for what happened last year. My only point is, you pair him up with a defensive coordinator that he feels 1,000% more comfortable with and is more trusting of, then he's going to be able to put 100% of his energy into making sure the offense is as good as possible.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You want to talk about a really good text. 415 sent this in. Scott Hansen, good news. Chris Hansen, bad news.
Oh.
Now, does that go over your head? Or, Lucas, do you get that? You get it?
Yeah, I know who Chris Hansen is. Yes.
Why don't you take a seat right here at the bar? And, oh, my God. It's the best television show that's ever existed.
What are
Steve
you doing
did
here?
Ask back here if there was a relation.
Well, that'll be our first question for Scott the next time he jumps on. I bet he gets that question a lot.
Chris Hansen.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
What was your plan here tonight?
Two main questions for Scott Hansen. I bet he gets more than any other. Number one is obviously, when do you pee? Like, no, for real. I know he gets it a lot,
yeah.
Right? 7 hours. When do you pee?
Every interview.
Right? And then the other one is, do you know Chris? Anything relation there? Anything going on? All right. We've got a zinger or two of a Warrior conversation, I think, to have, but not done yet with the San Francisco 49ers. Actually want to, throw a little bit of a curveball and try something out that we may be doing in the football season. And it's basically called Brock Orr. And we'll explain this coming up next. 888-957-957 is the number. Grandy's here, everybody. It's Willard and Dibs.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.